Hi, this is Matt, WB2SRI. About a week ago, I picked up, as kind of an impulse purchase, the new Texan PL990X portable shortwave receiver. If you're not familiar with this, it's the successor to the PL880 receiver, which is a small battery-powered portable radio, covers shortwave, medium wave, long wave, and FM broadcast. And it is renowned for having pretty good performance. So the 990, the newer model, intrigued me because it has a fairly prominent internal external antenna switch, as well as the ability to plug in an external antenna, not just for shortwave, but for medium wave and long wave. And I thought this might be a fun receiver to have if it actually holds up to the rigors of an external antenna. Now, most receivers in this class, relatively inexpensive, small, portable, don't really have the front end capable of handling the kind of signals you get with an external antenna. But I figured this was worth trying out. Now, this isn't a review. This is just a casual demonstration comparison of a communications receiver and the PL990X and see how they do with the same signals with the same antenna under, you know, suboptimal band conditions. And I was actually pleasantly surprised in playing with this that the PL990X does better than I expected. It's quite a worthwhile little receiver. All right, so the setup here is I've hooked up my Wellbrook magnetic loop antenna on my roof to a signal splitter. And on one end of the signal splitter, I've got my new PL990X. And on the other end, I've got my trusty ICOM R9500 communications receiver. These are pretty much at the opposite end of the size, weight, expense, and performance ends of the various spectrums. So this is a pretty unfair comparison to the Texan. And I've taken the line audio out of each of these receivers and plugged in the Texan to the left channel and the ICOM on the right channel. And the idea is that this will allow you to listen to what a demodulated signal sounds like that's come in at exactly the same time from the same station, tuned to the same frequency, and demodulated with two different receivers. And you can just compare the left and the right channels to see how the two receivers are able to process these signals. You don't have to worry about the fact that band conditions might have changed or something might be a little different. The position of the radio might be a little different or what have you. You can get a really direct comparison. You can switch back and forth at will. So if you're listening to this on headphones, great. You can just take the headphones off of one ear, take them off of the other ear, and switch back and forth to listen to the difference between the two radios. If you've got speakers, you're going to need some way of muting the left and the right speakers quickly and easily. Otherwise, you're just going to get this cacophony of sounds from two different radios, and it's going to be very frustrating to try to make any sense of. So, again, I strongly suggest listening on either headphones or with some sort of a setup that lets you mute the left and the right speakers. Now, we're listening to the line audio out from both of these radios. I've tried to make the levels reasonably close to one another. And so we're not listening to the internal speaker or the internal audio amplifier. This is the line out before it's been amplified by the radio's audio circuitry. This is not a complete picture of what the radio is going to sound like unless you were listening to it on headphones, as you should be right now. Okay, so it's early evening. It's about 8 p.m. And, you know, this is the time when band conditions are starting to lower a little bit in frequency. It's, October 15th right now. You know, we're not really receiving a whole lot above about 10 or 15 megahertz here. I'm in an urban location. My main limitation here is locally generated noise rather than raw sensitivity of the receiver. I'm in a city, and you know that's not the best place for HF or medium wave or long wave listening. You know, this is not really pushing the sensitivity of these radios to the limits. It's really more looking at their ability to demodulate signals under not particularly terrific conditions. So I'm going to start with an old friend, the Canadian Time Signal Station. I've had that running at low level in the background, CHU. Now, CHU is an interesting signal. If you've ever looked at it on a spectrum analyzer, you might notice that it's AM, but it only actually broadcasts audio on its upper sideband. And that, what that means is that if you were to do exalted carrier, you need to listen to the upper sideband because there's no audio on the lower sideband on CHU. And I think they do that to save energy. So let's start with our reference receiver. This is the ICOM in AM mode using a 3 kilohertz filter. And this is on the right channel. And, you know, this is what CHU, what I think CHU normally sounds like. So let me raise the level there. Okay, so I've tuned the Texan to the same frequency, 3330 kilohertz, but the Texan has adjustable bandwidth filters. They're not quite the same as the ICOM, and they're not quite the same shape as the ICOM. They're a little bit wider, and they have slightly different characteristics. The closest thing to the 3 kilohertz filter on the Texan in performance and in what it actually passes seems to be the 2.3 kilohertz filter. So I've set the Texan to 2.3 kilohertz, and here's what it sounds like. I think they're pretty similar, but I'll let you be the judge. I'll put both of them on. Okay, I'll let that go for a little while because we got a little bit of local electrical noise. I don't know if you noticed there. And you could see the AGCs of the two different radios behaving a little bit differently. I have the ICOM set to fast AGC. There's no adjustable AGC on the Texan. All All right, so I think that's pretty close to what we would expect. I think, you know, the Texan sounds pretty similar. You could probably tell the difference in a blind test, but, you know, it's not too dramatically different. Signal conditions aren't great at the moment, but this was not a particularly challenging signal. There's nothing nearby, so we weren't really testing the selectivity, and we didn't really have to pull it out of the noise or anything like that. So this was kind of a warm-up. So I'm going to tune around. I'm not sure what I'm going to find right now, but I'm going to try to find a signal a little bit lower in level, an international broadcaster of some kind. I think I'll go up to the 49-meter band, and I'll tune using the ICOM. I'll use that to find some signals and settle in on something. All right, so here we are on the right channel. We've got the ICOM. Bunch of carriers. I think that's Cuba on 6 megahertz. Okay, there's 5970 kilohertz. That's pretty similar in level to what we saw with CHU, so I'm going to keep looking, tuning down a little bit more. Okay, there's a signal on 5920 kilohertz, and it's a little lower. It's fading. The audio level isn't too great. Not sure what it is off the top of my head. Could be one of the U.S. commercial stations, but it's not as strong as they usually are. All right, let me. We're listening again on the right channel to the ICOM. All right, I'm going to see what the Texan can do with this. And why don't we listen to both of them? Okay, so that was not a terribly readable signal, but interestingly, I think the two receivers did pretty similarly on both of them. Now I'm going to raise the bandwidth, widen it up a little bit on both of them. So I'm going to go from 3 to 6 kilohertz on the ICOM and from 2.3 to 3.5 on the Texan, and we'll see if that changes the quality of the audio. Thank you. Well, in my year, the ICOM was a hair better, but this was not exactly a great signal to listen to. All right, I'm going to keep tuning around a little more, see if we can find something else, and maybe we can find some meaningful difference between these two receivers.
Moravskom podzámku otvoria novú sezónu plavby Tlčany po Orave, bude opäť atrakciou nielen Slovákov, ale aj zahraničných.
All right, we're on 5850. Okay, so this has gone from weak to strong. We're getting kind of slow fading right now. This is now a fairly strong signal. And so I want to use this to see if we can make what is often the Achilles heel of small receivers like this work well on the Texan. If it can't do it on this, it can't really do it on anything. And that is sync detection. So the Texan has a sync detector built in. They almost never work on radios like this. I'm going to start with the ICOM, and that's on the right channel. And I'm going to turn its sync detector on right now, and we'll see if that changes the character of the signal at all. I don't know if you heard it kick in or not, but it is now using the sync detector. All right, now let's do the same thing with the Texan. So we're still in AM mode, and I'm going to turn the sync detector on now. And this may or may not be horrible. Both of them right now.
Je to koníček zdravý a zároveň užitočný. Prechádzate sa po lese a pritom zbierate plody prírody, z ktorých sa dá pripraviť množstvo skvelých pochúťok. Na prvý pohľad to vyzerá ideálne. Ale čo urobí vášnivý hubár, keď sa mu prihodí to, čo minulý týždeň bolo? Krátka, vyrazil som doma a palivý rád. Po dvojhodinovej prechádzke v inak krásnom jesenným pánom som musel konštatovať, že prechádzka tu síce bola pekná, ale domov pôjdem s prázdnou taškou. Počuli ste dobre. Nechodím do lesa s košíkom, ale s plátenou taškou. Preto, aby som sa nemusel hanbiť v prípade, že som nič nenazbieral. Prázdny košík sa...
So what I got out of that was that the, at its best, they both sounded pretty good. But the ICOM had a much easier time maintaining lock with the sync There were a few times when the Texan just lost it. And that's pretty typical of this class of receiver. You know, I don't even bother trying to use the sync. I found that these are good enough to use exalted carrier. You know, where you zero beat the signal and just listen in single sideband mode. So I'm going to do that right now as well. Let me switch over to single sideband on the ICOM with this signal. And now let's go into single sideband from AM mode on the Texan.
Nakoniec jesen sa iba začala, ten opäť potešal, otecil. A teraz nastal správny čas, keď musia rásť.
V príhode Rastia píška patrí záver nášho dnešného stretnutia na vlnách Rádia Slovakia Internacionál. Veríme, že ste sa niečo zaujímavé dozvedeli a že vám bolo s nami príjemne. Pripomínam, že všetky relácie nájdete na webe RTVS v archíve. Okrem klasického vysielania vám ponúkame aj podcastovú verziu. Internetové odkazy sa dozviete o chvíľu v našej záverečnej zvučke. Dnes sa s vami ľúčia a za pozornosť vám ďakujú zvukový majster Tibor Bogdan a redaktor Jozef Bohunický. Všetko dobré, priatelia.
Kontaktujte nás na Radio Slovakia International RTVS, Mlynská dolina, PO Box 55, 84545 Bratislava, Slovakia. Alebo e-mailom na rsi@rtvs.sk. Počúvať nás môžete cez webovú stránku, satelit, krátke vlny a tiež mobilnú aplikáciu iRádio RTVS. Viac informácií na rsi.sk.
Sending music and information around the world. This is WRMI, Radio Miami International.
All right, so we also got an ID off of that station. So I think this is pretty much what we would expect. Both of them sounded pretty good. I think SSB audio sounds a bit harsher on the Texan than it does on the ICOM. I wouldn't want to listen to SSB audio for all that long. And right now, what I'd like to do is find an actual single sideband station to listen to. Maybe we'll have to listen to an amateur station, or maybe we can find a utility station on shortwave. So let's see what we can find. I'm going to use the ICOM to tune around, and I'm going to see what we can tune in here. I'm tuning around the 49 meter band. Sometimes there are marine or aviation weather stations. But no such luck right now. So let's go to lower sideband and see what the amateurs have to say. All right, so I'm tuning up the 40 meter amateur band. And hopefully we can find something here. Looks like we got something. Yeah, it's an AM. Nobody's on 40 meters tonight. That's pretty unusual. The bands must be really terrible for us. Alright, I'm gonna try 20 meters, 14 megahertz band. Just in case. The bands should be pretty closed up there, but you never know. This might be somebody, it's a popular band, so we might find something. And so far I'm not seeing too much on the spectrum display on the icon. So see what we find. All right, 80 meters. There's got to be somebody here. All right. So there's some fairly weak signals on 3927. Let's find something a little stronger to start with. Yeah, the bands are pretty well closed tonight on the amateur bands. It's a Thursday night, and the ionosphere is not being terribly cooperative, and people are probably inside doing non-radio things for some odd reason. Oh, wait a minute. Here we got something. Okay, 3730 kilohertz, lower sideband.
Using the original mic,
going
on a forehead.
Sound like a good approach to me.
Okay, so let's see what the Texan can do here. There's AM mode. And now we're switching to lower sideband there.
Yes, he does, as a matter of fact.
Well, he's probably been locked for a couple of days.
There, he just jumped off the table.
Cat food do you give to your outside
cat? Well, I don't know. I buy a big bag and full of the garbage can, and I don't exactly how much they get. They say it's all dry food, of course.
Yeah.
What's interesting is getting a tracker supply, and they have what they call a monitor food, and they get comes in 44-pound bags. And then they have their Paws and Claws brand in the 36-pound bag. They're both roughly the same price. And if I put both of them out there, they will not touch that multi-cat stuff.
You say they won't touch it?
No, I mean, they'll eat it if they're desperate, but if they got you, if I fill a handful of Paws and Claws and a handful of multi-cats, they're both dry food, they'll eat all the Paws and Claws and just leave the multi-cat there.
All right, so what I did there was adjusted the fine tuning on the Texan. It was about 30 kilohertz low, and the Texan also lets you recalibrate the frequency and rounding it by holding down the lower sideband or upper sideband key, and it'll just zero it to the nearest kilohertz. And that's a nice feature because these radios don't have particularly stable oscillators, so they're prone to be off by 100 or so hertz from time to time. Okay, so that's what sideband sounds like. I think it's harsher on the Texan than on the ICOM, but it's certainly entirely usable. It's an impressive little radio. Now, I bought this from Ananco, which is an online vendor in Hong Kong. I think the price is about $235 plus shipping. I'd expect that to go down a little bit once this makes it into the U.S. retail market. Now, before we go, I want to take advantage of the specific feature of this radio that attracted me to it in the first place, and that's the ability to use an external antenna on medium wave and long wave. Most radios in this class don't let you do that. You're stuck with the ferrite bar, and if you want to use an external antenna, you have to find some way of coupling to the internal ferrite rod, which makes it difficult to eliminate locally generated noise if you're using an external antenna. But the Texan 990, unlike its predecessor, the 880, allows you to use the external antenna jack on those lower frequencies, on medium frequency and medium wave and long wave. So that's interesting to me because I like listening to some of the lower frequency navigation beacons and occasionally European broadcasters on the long wave band. All right, so let's see what this thing can do on medium and long wave. Again, I'm going to use the ICOM to find us a signal. I'm going to go to the AM broadcast band right now. Let's start with something local. Here's what used to be called WTOP. I'm back in AM mode right now. This is now WFED, which is owned by the same people, but it has programming aimed at federal government employees, which is a large fraction of the Washington, D.C. population. So here on the right channel is the ICOM with 1500 AM WFED.
But that was one of the reasons why, to Sherry's point, we went with two vendors out of the gate, which was fairly atypical for this type of thing. We would typically go with one, prototype it, and then potentially...
All right, and here is the Texan.
We wanted to really see how these different vendors worked in production scenarios. So that was very beneficial to us, I think, in the end. It created a bit more work on Sherry and the team. But in the end, I think it definitely bore the fruit because we saw things that likely we wouldn't have seen otherwise.
Yeah, I think the amount we learned by having that variety in the use cases and scenarios was huge. And we would not have otherwise learned things like that in a lab and, you know, just a silo.
So it was about 100,000 users for the pilot. It was over 6 months, it was over a year. As I mentioned, Steve and I talked about this probably in 2018, and Steve, you mentioned this at other events over the last, you know, year or so. How was it tested? Walk me through maybe some of the prototype of approaches. It just was put on and said go, and then you looked at the logs, or how did it work?
The period was for 1 year. We went a little bit past that.
All right, so one thing you might have noticed, if you were listening very carefully on the left channel, which is where the Texan is, there was another audio stream in there. And that was, I believe, a little bit of intermod. This is a pretty strong signal. It's in the presence of other strong signals on the AM band. There was no hint of that with the ICOM receiver, which has a, you know, better RF front end. But the there's a little bit of audio mixing from what I would presume to be some intermod with another station. But other than that, it was fairly low level. The audio quality was pretty good, but we did suffer a bit of intermod. Now, the other interesting thing was I used the RF gain, the attenuator switch, which is a three-position DX, normal, and local. It didn't make any difference in nulling out or eliminating the intermod. That was there at all three positions. There seems to be a 10 dB steps, 0 dB, minus 10, and minus 20 or so, at least according to its internal meter. Even in the highest attenuation position, we still did see some intermod there. Let's find something else. Let's try W. Okay, so right now we're listening to 6:50 a.m. And we've got two stations in there. Of course, we've got our Nashville powerhouse, and I believe under that is a Cuban station on that frequency. And this is the ICOM receiver. That audio mixing is just two stations on the same frequency. I'm pretty confident there's no intermod there. I believe the other station is a Cuban. And let's see what that sounds like on the Texan.
It's a Grand Ole Opry anniversary for this fella, this particular year. 29 years ago this year, he came here from West Tennessee, a little town called Gleason, Tennessee, over in Wheatley County. You can find it on the map. They brought the entire town of Gleason that time. They just shut her down and they brought it down to celebrate his membership. With my old friend, Mike Snyder.
All right. So I think we also saw, because there was some atmospheric noise in there, we also saw the different behaviors of the AGC. Both of these did pretty well. I didn't get any hint of intermod on the Texan on this frequency, which is nice to know. I was listening to that in both the unattenuated and also with 20 dB of attenuation. Didn't really make much difference one way or another. There wasn't really any intermod there to start with. Let me try to find another one. Let's see. Let's go to New York and
the approach into Dallas. Biden.
All right.
Played 11 seasons for the Chargers and 49ers.
Oh, that's 880. It's pretty strong. Let's find something a little more challenging.
33.
Is it believable that Joe Biden doesn't know any of this? Right, he's getting a lot of money.
Okay, this is 870 a.m., which is a station in New Orleans, as I recall, as well as the Cuban news station, which is the clock ticks in the background. So we're getting Cuba and New Orleans fighting it out on 870. And we're listening to the ICOM right now. So let's fade in the the Texan. And here they both are.
En esta región se apoya el cambio monetario que trae consigo una reforma salarial y hay consenso de que solo en mantener el trabajo de el uso correcto de los recursos y el aumento de las producciones podrá recuperarse en la economía. Siempre es un programa de paz y la independencia.
Okay, that sounded roughly equal to my ears. You could hear the radio Realoha RR in Morse code there on the minute, which is a very distinctive quality of that station. Okay, so now I want to take this down to the long wave band, where mostly we'll find non-directional aviation beacons, NDB stations. These aren't particularly interesting for their content. They just send an identifier in Morse code over and over again. But there are so many of them around the country that they're an interesting indicator of propagation. And on the same band, every now and then in the winter, if you get lucky, you'll find a European or North African broadcaster occupies those frequencies. So let me tune in to one of the local stations here, a local airport. And we'll use the ICOM to tune up. Okay, this is 332 kilohertz, and you can hear DC in Morse code over and over again. But if you listen carefully, you'll see there's another station on the same frequency. With a slightly different CW tone, you'll hear there's QT, station in Canada, in Quebec, as I recall. And that's on the same frequency as my local airport beacon. So we're hearing both Canada and right across the Potomac. So let's see what that sounds like on the Texan. To change bands on that. So I think it sounds pretty similar. We're getting both stations. I'll let you listen to both for a little while. Okay. So this is much, much better performance than I expected on log wave for this. This is pretty similar to what the ICOM is doing, but we're not really pushing it quite to its limits. On this band, what you really need to do is set it to CW mode and tune to the audio character, the audio frequency that's modulating the modulated CW with a really narrow bandwidth, because these stations are about 1 kilohertz apart. They step on each other. The carriers can get annoying and very confusing. So listening in AM mode, as we just did, doesn't really take advantage of all of the receiver features that are necessary to really be competitive on this band. So I'm going to set this thing to upper sideband and tune around and see what we can see at the narrowest bandwidth, which is 500 hertz on the Texan. And I'm just tuning around right now. There's also, and this is the biggest challenge of this band, an enormous amount of locally generated noise. All right, well, so notably, this is using the narrowest bandwidth, 500 hertz, but I heard audio in there that was much higher than 500 hertz. So these filters aren't really all that great. But overall, I'm very impressed by the performance of this little radio. Now, let me close out with just a couple of pieces of advice if you want to set up an experiment like what I just did. one of the problems with this radio is the line out is very hot. It's a little bit too high level to drive some of the audio recorders that you might have. It's going to overload them right at their initial stage. Fortunately, though, they let you lower the line out level using one of the hidden feature commands. If you hold down the 7 key, you can reduce the line out level down to a more reasonable level. I changed mine from the default of 60 down to about 50, and that seems to be good enough to not overload any of my digital recorders. The other thing is the performance on an internal antenna is also actually pretty good. It's got a fairly long ferrite bar. The whip is pretty long. The challenge, though, is that if you're indoors, you probably have a lot of locally generated noise on shortwave, medium wave, and long wave. And of course, as we all know, you get much better results either outdoors or with an external antenna. So I've gone on for a while. I hope this was helpful. It's an impressive little radio, a little bit pricey, but I expect the price will be going down once this hits the regular U.S. retail market. But who knows? In the meantime, you can order them from Hong Kong. Mine took only a few days to get here, which was nice. They sent it by FedEx, and it arrived in less than a week. If you really want to get your hands on one, you can. I don't regret this purchase at all. I think this will be my travel radio, and I'm having a good time with it. So thanks for listening, and Next time I get a new radio, maybe you'll hear from me again. Good night.